The themes and the content discussed in this programme may be of an adult nature. It is not suitable for younger ears.
Live and local.
After the watershed.
Don't mention the duck.
Twitter's on my side.
What, Twitter can hear the duck?
Twitter can hear the duck.
Really? Well, we're not going to mention the duck. Today, we're going to talk about masturbation instead.
I'd rather talk about the duck. Do you mind?
So, have you seen this? The NHS have been urged to prescribe masturbation to parents, patients even, as part of a wider wellness programme to help the one in four people in this country who experience stress-related health problems. Now, we should say this request has come from a sex toy company. I mean, there might be a slight conflict of interest there, I don't know, but... A lot of experts, sexual experts, say that there is a lot of research to support the positive side effects of masturbation.
Yeah, why are you looking at me?
I'm just telling you, it can boost endorphins, reduce stress, improve sleep, improves your immune system.
Yeah.
And it can help with menopausal symptoms.
Really?
Apparently.
What's the hormone? Oxytocin,
I think?
That's the one.
I think so. Anyway, so we're going to discuss all things masturbation.
Can I say something?
Go on.
Do we not think doctors are going through enough?
Without adding that to their workload. You might have a point. I'm not sure it's something I would necessarily want to discuss with my GP.
No, I mean, yes, it's a great idea, but does it need to be prescribed?
Yeah.
Isn't it enough that we're just saying do it?
I think so. And I don't know if I need my doctor to tell me.
No.
Just give me the Dr. just give
Dishy.
Me the prescription and I'll take myself off to the chemist.
Thank you, doctor.
Live and local.
After the watershed.
Now, we can talk to somebody who knows a bit about this, an expert, a sexpert,
in fact.
This is Kate Moyle, and she is Laylo's UK sex therapist. Kate, thanks so much for joining us. So this is true, isn't it, insofar as there is a lot of research to show the benefits of, well, dealing with yourself. Is that a good way of putting it? There are so many euphemisms for it, though, aren't there?
I think keeping your hand in. Go with that.
Keeping your hand in.
I don't know what happened then.
Do you have a favourite euphemism for it, Kate?
I mean, I just talk to people about self-pleasure, you know, what it does, what it says on the tin.
That's better. That sounds much better than masturbation. Self-pleasure. We'll go with that. So, Kate, what are the benefits?
Well, we know that there are kind of the psychological benefits, but also the physical benefits as well, and that we see that there is a release of kind of hormones, endorphins, things like oxytocin you guys mentioned, which are a relaxant. So it counters the effect of the stress hormone cortisol, so it has a kind of calming effect. That we also see prolactin, which is released, which also kind of makes people feel relaxed and sleepy. But, you know, aside from that, actually what we see is that, you know, and I particularly see as a psychosexual and relationship therapist, is that when people have problems with their sexual well-being and difficulties with their sex life, it's a really negative impact on mental health and self-esteem and self-confidence. And that what we are trying to encourage at Laylo is actually to nudge the conversation towards how that we can use it preventatively, but also to help health. And we're positioning sexual well-being kind of where it should be alongside other aspects of well-being.
I guess one of the problems as well is, though, if you're talking about it being really beneficial to mental health, one of the issues of mental health, bad mental health, is you lose your sex drive. So
yeah,
one of the last things you're going to do is sit there and, what was it,
self-pleasure.
And also, you know, some of the side effects of medication obviously have an impact on sex drive. So, you know, the thing that we absolutely said with this statement is that, A, this information needs to kind of be given correctly and educatively, but this is not what we're not saying is that what we're saying is that this could be, for some people, a part of an integrated treatment program or, you know, well-being program to get them to a place of better all-round health and holistic health. No means are we saying this is a blanket statement that this can help everyone and there is no need for medication anymore.
No, because I do think that masturbation, particularly female masturbation, is still seen as a bit of a taboo subject.
Yeah, funnily enough, I was just writing about this morning. I think it is. And, you know, we didn't discover the full structure of the, you know, female sexual anatomy of the clitoris until 1998. You know, we're still really playing historical catch-up here.
Who discovered that?
It was actually an Australian urologist, a woman called Helen O'Connell. But, you know, we're talking really, really recently. And so there is this whole movement towards, I think, actually education being a huge, huge part of this, not just for young people, but for adults as well.
Because women, I don't think, admit to doing it, whereas men, I mean, I was going to say they talk about it all the time. I mean, obviously not all the time, but a lot more. Do you know what I mean? It's almost... I don't know, it's just a completely... Men seem to have a completely different attitude to it.
I think it's because it's all on the outside.
I don't know why,
but I think, feel like that makes a psychological difference.
Well, I think, you know, the thing about that is that, you know, we understand men's sexuality kind of more. It's more obvious. But also just the fact that, you know, that men's sexuality, sexual pleasure is actually really kind of wrapped up with the reproductive and functioning aspect of it, whereas women's, they're almost more separate. Mm. And so there isn't that kind of it's never been a necessary, whereas actually what we understand is that orgasm can play a kind of role in a huge role in sexual functioning and sexual pleasure and enjoyment, but in people's sex lives, but it was never documented as a necessary part of sex and to achieve the goals of reproduction historically.
I love in the press release you're talking about, Ali, you'll love this, about hysteria. So all these symptoms, anxiety, loss of libido and everything, would just be under the umbrella of women are being hysterical.
Yeah, well, that was kind of how it was, you know, and we see that those kind of almost Victorian models of sex toys were to treat women with hysteria.
Oh, so this idea then of prescribing masturbation then isn't particularly new then. This is something doctors were doing back in the olden days.
Yeah, and, you know, we know that sex toys are documented as being found, you know, even in the Stone Ages. There's nothing new. It's just that actually the social stigma and taboo around the subject kind of increased, and actually now we're on the way out of that, and, you know, we're seeing this move towards more inclusive sex education and understanding consent and relationships and pleasure as a part of education. But we're going to be in 2020 pretty soon, so it's really taking a long time to go past this. And I think there's that split between what people are happy to talk about and what people do behind closed doors, but the nature of that means that we create this gap where conversation, discussion, questions can be answered and education happens.
I think it is changing though, because, you know, if we're saying that female masturbation is still taboo, and then we're saying that sex toys have been found in, you know, engravings from a million years ago, the sex toys now seem really geared towards female satisfaction and not just a 18-inch dildo that was designed by a man who thinks that that's what women want or need. You know, do you know what I mean? The clitoral stimulators, the suction ones, there seems to be, you know, embracing that side now.
The focus, I would say, the sex toy market is almost dominated by, is dominated by products towards women. And I think that it's recognising that there is a market for it, a market to assist women in achieving sexual pleasure and orgasm and enjoyment and satisfaction. And actually, we see the whole rise of the sex tech movement at the moment, paired with femtech, which is this whole female focused model, and it's huge and it's growing rapidly.
And it is mainly women, isn't it? It's so exciting.
Yeah, there is women creating products for women, and I think that we are recognizing that actually this whole sexual health, sexual well-being, sexual wellness part of our lives, it is hugely important. And I think typically the conversation has always been around when couples struggle. But actually, lots of people aren't in relationships, and we don't want to exclude those people from the conversation anymore.
How one of the benefits you're saying is it helps with menopausal symptoms. How would that help?
So we know that masturbation, for example, increases lubrication. So vaginal atrophy being one of the impacts of menopause. So
such a beautiful description, isn't it?
But it's interesting. I was listening. There was a podcast by Meg Matthews, and she was saying her gynecologist had recommended masturbation to on her menopause blog, Meg's Menopause. And I think that, but it's also about, it takes blood flow to the area, so it's increasing oxygenation to the tissue in the area and things like that.
Because, and obviously you know, you dealing with this stuff, you know, day in, day out as a sex therapist, you must come across some of the myths that still surround masturbation. I remember, like, growing up.
Going blind.
Oh, going blind. Hairy palms. Did you not come across that? There's a lot of this stuff that still persists, isn't there?
Hairy palms.
Did you never hear the hairy palm?
No.
One?
Oh, yeah. I went to a proper school though, Alison.
But you know, in all seriousness, do you think that some of that, you know, still persists a little bit?
I think 100% of it, you know, less the hairy palm stuff, but more that our ideas and models of sex are internalized messages from as soon as we kind of first start hearing about those things, which is as children. You know, we see that there's internalized negative messages, particularly perhaps in a culture like ours where sex isn't really celebrated or openly talked about or discussed. It's kind of still that taboo, that stigma, kind of awkward conversation.
Yeah, there's that sense of shame, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. So we internalize that sense of shame and embarrassment from a really young age, whereas we look at more, you know, countries like Amsterdam or places like Holland, where they talk to children about sex from the age of 4 inclusively in a part of conversation. It's just there, and they have people typically wait to a later age to have sexual experiences for the first time. Those experiences are often at home. They're known about by the parents. They have lower rates of sexually transmitted infections and unwanted pregnancies. And I think that, you know, it's there's a clear relationship between those things.
Do you know Sweden actually invented a new word for female masturbation because they were so concerned about kind of this stigma? In fact, they held a competition, right? I'm not even making this stuff up, right?
Because she does make stuff up.
I do make stuff up, but this is true. The Scandinavians held a competition back in 2015 where they asked people to nominate words that women could use. And do you know what won? Yeah. So they had, this is what I've found.
Give us the top three.
They had 1,200 responses.
Yeah.
And they went with clitra, a portmanteau of clitoris and glitter, because it highlights the importance of the clitoris for pleasure.
Can I just say how awful that is?
You're not a fan of the clitra.
I mean, how many people?
That was the best one they came up with. Well, what else would you go for? I mean, some of the other suggestions, flicking the bean. No, that is not, is it, really? No. Rub one out, please.
Oh, that's like maths class.
Dial zero on the pink telephone.
Well, that's a very long way of saying it, isn't it?
Take a constitutional in the lady garden. Or double click your mouse. I mean, these are really awful. Or, as Joe Brand once suggested, I'm just off to do some gusset typing.
Hang on, was she talking QWERTY?
I think if they're the other options, I think clitra might be the way to go, don't you? Unbelievable.
Hey Kate, so you know you've sent this out to the government.
Yeah.
How's that gone down? We had any response yet?
Because they've got nothing else going on at the moment.
Going on.
I imagine, you know, masturbation being prescribed on the NHS
well,
is top of their
there is a joke
list.
There that I'm not going for, but yeah.
Well, I think, you know, I think Lilo, when they said this out, it was actually just making the point that we're trying to position sexual well-being and sexual pleasure kind of where it should be. And I think this is the whole mission of a brand like Lilo, is about breaking down this, why can't we talk about this? And, you know, the reality is, if we're not going to talk about it, everyone can just type the word into their computer anyway and they're going to find an answer, so we might as well try and give an educated one.
Do you know, if you haven't gone to the government with this, you've missed a trick. Because any political party, this is, if someone knocked on my door and said, BB, if we win, you get free, what's the word?
Clitra.
If you get free clitra for life. That's a vote winner.
But you can have free clitra for life.
You get free clitra for life anyway.
That's the thing.
I'm worried about RSI. Does that figure?
Do you think as well, Kate, that some couples might worry that their relationship is unsatisfying in some way if either one of them is feeling the need to masturbate? Do you think so, like the other party could almost take it as a form of rejection?
No, I think that's, and you know, that's I think a huge part of the anxiety that couples have about introducing sex toys into their relationships. But it's really about understanding that sexuality and sexual experiences aren't just always partnered. They're not always a partnered process. They're not always a partnered experience. And actually, we know that people that kind of get to know their bodies better and understand their bodies better actually have report having more satisfying sex with partners because they're also able to communicate that to them as well.
You should, can you please, I know we're not paying for you as a therapist today, but can you please give Alison some advice? You're okay, Alison, me sharing?
I don't know what you're about to share.
Share your fear of using sex toys, what your fear is.
Oh, that when I die, my family will find a drawer and then be kind of, I don't know, think, I don't know what they would think of me, but that's my worry.
Well, what I would say to that is there are lots that now don't look like sex toys if you're worried about it finding...
One's buying that, oh, it's Alison's massager. No one's buying that shtick.
It's Alison's...
It's not happening.
Plug-in vax. Yeah. What are those things called? Plug-in Glade.
Yeah. Kate, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Sex therapist Kate Moyle there talking about the benefits of clitora.
You've got some free advice then. Thank you, BB.
Thank you. I'm forever in your debt. Now, would you like to find out or hear what some other people had to say when they were asked about...
Clitora.
I don't know if I prefer clitora now or just masturbation. I don't. I'm confused.
I probably masturbate between 2 to 3 times a day.
Once a day.
I masturbate on a daily basis.
Sometimes morning.
Two times a day, 3 times a day.
Four times a day.
Depends how stressed you are, really.
Yeah, normal. 3 times a week.
I don't really count how often, but yeah, like, everyone masturbates, so...
Yeah, it makes me feel good. It's a nice way to start the day and end the day.
Happy.
Relieve a bit of stress. Wind down when I'm away from home.
I feel like men have a stigma against, like, female masturbation. They kind of find it a bit... weird and a bit creepy.
So I think that it's viewed as like a filthy thing to do or taboo to touch yourself, but I obviously disagree with that, and I think that why would be that it comes from religion.
Not with my sort of circle of friends. Everyone's pretty open to talking about it.
So I think it's very male orientated, and male, like the male stigma is that people always believe that women can't enjoy the same pleasures as men, so there's definitely a stigma there.
I think it would be great if the NHS introduced masturbation as a stress relief or for anything else, because it would normalise it.
Yes, great, because it shouldn't be seen as something that's wrong, it's a natural thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great idea. It's free, isn't it? You know, contributes towards keeping the NHS alive, and you know, it's free medicine, isn't it, really?
Well, it's free and anyone can do it, so give it a go.
I'm not sure about that music they used in the background there, but
like 70s porn
very
track.
Wasn't it very the last chap though said, you know, anyone can do it. Can they? Because there are classes to which you can go to in order to improve your technique. Yeah, I haven't actually found any in this country as yet. Otherwise, I would have booked you in.
You're so... you
would have,
beautiful.
You would have been there. Yeah. No, this is a lady in the States. I think we've spoken about her before, Betty Dodson.
Yes.
And she's written a book called Sex for One, The Joy of Self-Loving. She's a lady in her 80s. So she has some experience in this area, but she actually holds courses where people go along and she will, well, show them what they should be doing.
You know, I think our friends at Shush do something similar. Click Clock.
Click Clock. I remember Click Clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it on your list?
But do you actually go there and then actually... I mean, at a Betty Dodson body sex workshop, women get naked and they all masturbate together in her apartment.
Yeah.
I mean... Now, participants say that they feel a new sense of power, independence and control.
Yeah.
They speak very highly of these classes. I mean, I think going evening class in French can be a little overwhelming. Do you know what I mean?
Flower arranging finished me off.
And she's still doing it at the age of 88. 2 days these workshops are. So it's a sleepover and everything.
I went to an orgasm school once.
Did you get naked?
No. Someone tried to put their hand on my love circuit.
Your love circuit? Is that another word for your clitora or what?
We had to activate our love circuits, and it was in a house in West Norwood, and I remember there were
That's sexy.
Yeah, and there were very
West Norwood.
And there were deep red scatter cushions. It was quite the event, and I had to put my hand on a man's chest and on his winky, and he. But we were dressed, but I had to put my hand in his pants.
What?
Yeah, and he was. I didn't, and he was supposed to put his hand down my pants, and that was the circuit. That was the love circuit.
Please, were people paying for this?
People were paying good money. There was food. That was okay.
Right, okay.
There were dips. The best thing was they played some Gladys Knight music. And I said, why are you playing Gladys Knight music? And they said, she sings through her ovaries. And I said, what, her pips? Because I thought it was the funniest thing I ever said.
They didn't ask you to leave?
Pretty much. Yeah. They weren't happy with me. Yeah. Yeah, but that was... So this stuff's been going on.
Gosh. Yeah. It's all happening in West Norwood. Who knew?
You know those Vox Pops? Mm. Why have we never had people open up quite so much to us when we vox pop? Do you think it's our BBC passes?
I think so. It might put people off. I don't know.
The more I think about this, though, the more I'm thinking that actually, if you were... Because there are still some people, aren't there, that if it comes from a GP, it's more legit.
Yes.
So if a GP did say... You know, maybe just a way of doing it.
You need to go home and do this once, twice a day.
Yeah, or a way to improve. They could couch it a way to, you know, alleviate anxiety is, you know, make more and more sex, or you know, on your own. You know, so it doesn't have to say go home and.
I still think if I was a GP, I wouldn't want to have that conversation in my consulting room.
Well, you know, we've talked about miming to communicate before.
Maybe that's it. Charades is often the answer. Sorry, I'm slightly distracted because I'm reading more about Betty Dodson's classes. I mean, wow. Right? They start off the workshop with a show and tell session, like you did at school. But this is a genital show and tell. I mean, what?
First time you've met these people.
Yeah, and you spread your legs in front of the group. And you learn what type of vulva you have before being asked to give it a name. Right.
Oh, I know my name.
I can't even cope with these team building things or, you know, work things where you have to stand up, tell us a little bit about yourself. I really struggle with that. This is a whole other level. What? I mean, anyway, this particular woman who's writing about this in Harper's Bazaar says, I learned that my vulva type is actually very rare. I bet she says that to everyone.
Sure.
With small symmetrical lips.
Oh.
She suggested the name Storm and everyone approved.
Well, I hope our Storm, friend O show, Madam Storm, doesn't hear that.
What name would you go for?
Alison.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. Anyway, they then proceed to have 5 hours of emotional discussions and sex education. On the Saturday, and then on the Sunday is where they acquire new masturbation techniques.
Can I just talk about the itinerary? Mm. Wouldn't you lead up to the JJ reveal?
You'd have thought so, but I suppose it's all about, it's an icebreaker, isn't it?
Well, it's...
Once someone's in your vulva...
Where can you go?
Your friends.
Forever.
I think so.
And is it? It is just women only.
It's just women. But still.
I know.
But they do work up to Betty demonstrating her signature rock and roll technique. You want to know what that is?
Yes.
You lie on your back and you move your hips up and down with a barbell in your vagina.
What?
And a Hitachi magic wand on your clitoris. and then you all do it together in some sort of tribal circle, and there's drumming.
Yeah.
Well, that would help
the National Grid, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to see how much it costs to get you on one of these.
Just get me a flight.
Yeah.
In America, they're keen on keeping plastic on furniture, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. And I think
God bless America.
Yes. Talking about weird articles I found on this subject, I also found an article which was warning women not to use other items. Do you know where I'm going with this? So what do you think is the most used item? So if somebody doesn't have their hand
deodorant.
To hand.
A deodorant.
Or a sex toy. No.
A candle.
No. Electric toothbrush. And they are warning women not to use an electric toothbrush. Not hygienic. I think we probably...
And also out.
Work that out for ourselves. But yeah, and apparently it is a bit of an issue.
Although now I'm seeing a business opportunity. If there's an electric toothbrush that you can just put a little kind of plastic hood on, come on, Ali.
Oh, well, yeah, no one would ever find my drawer. Get away with that, wouldn't it?
A little quilted kind of plastic hood.
Also in this article, though, warning people like not to use electric toothbrushes down there, they're also warning men not to masturbate with pineapple juice. Were men masturbating with pineapple juice? They're saying not to. It will sting and could lead to infections. But why would...
With pineapple
apparently,
juice?
Apparently men are also rubbing toothpaste onto their penises. You say, yeah, like you were aware of that.
Well, that'd be like a...
Apparently it helps people last longer.
Well, it'd be like a kind of deep heat, deep freeze kind of thing, wouldn't it? And also, you know, what's the mouthwash called?
Listerine?
Yeah.
Don't put that anywhere down there. What? That was smart.
Wow. What was the thing that we talked about the other day? I want to say it's not pegging because that's your favourite. Was it figging?
What's figging?
Was it figging?
I don't know what figging is.
Figging is a root ginger, and you peel it and then insert that.
Why would you do that?
Stings, apparently.
But, wow. Okay. Gosh. Now, of course, there are other ways to get off, so to speak. And we're going to be speaking to a lady about one of these ways very soon. This is audio porn.
Totally into this. Into the subject of
this. Yeah, hello, time to share, BB.
This is where I'm making my income.
I'm kind of kicking myself over this one though, because years ago I remember being sat in a pub in Brighton with some friends, and you know when you've had a few drinks and you get onto that, right, what we need is a business idea, we need something that's going to make us a million. And I remember really clearly my friend Neil saying, I've got it, radio porn. Well, it's the future.
That's this, isn't it? The present.
And I guess audio porn is pretty much the same idea.
So
non-visual.
Non-visual, and that's the beauty of it, because it's you can kind of characterize it yourself, your imagination, which is of course our biggest organ. So you can, if there's any protagonists that you especially find attractive, you kind of throw that person into the mix. There's kind of how-tos, there's saucy stories, there's full-on filth. And it's pretty much range. I mean, every subject is covered. There's also some of the platforms allow you to put your own porn on there. Some places, Vibes is one brand that synchronize porn erotic stories on your phone. The app activates the vibrator.
Oh.
So and at a certain point in the story where I guess they think it's kind of heating up, or it's a bit, the speed will speed up. So they're tying it in that way as well. But audio porn is huge. I haven't got the stats in front of me. It's huge. It's making billions and millions and billions. It's making a lot of money.
Right, you're making me really kick myself now. Yeah. I could have been a millionaire now. Imagine that though. How'd you make your money? Well, funny story.
But you would. But again, it's one of these, and I do find this really interesting, but also kind of brilliant. Again, it's another territory that it's really women-led, which is great, isn't it?
Well, we can talk to one of those women who is leading the way in this area. This is sex blogger G. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
How long have you been involved in this arena?
So I've been sex blogging. My blog is girlonthenet.com. Obviously, don't go onto that unless you're in a safe environment and not at work, because it is for adults. So I've been blogging there for about 8 years. And over the last 2 or 3 years, I've started to turn my blog posts into audio porn. So recording some of the sexier ones and getting them up online. So it's about 2 or 3 years I've been doing that.
Hi, it's BB here. Why did you decide to get into audio porn?
So the reason I got into it was because initially for accessibility reasons. So I had a guy contact me who enjoys my website, but he's blind, and so he gets a screen reader to read out the post, which obviously is okay for the posts which aren't sexy, but for the erotic ones, it's not particularly arousing to have it read aloud in a robot voice. So he said, oh, you know, have you ever thought about recording them and making little audio clips? So I thought, yeah, why not? That's great. It means more people can enjoy my work. And so as soon as I started to do it, suddenly it sort of took off, and it's now the most popular section on my site by quite a long way. I've got over 100 stories there, I think, and it gets about 100,000 listens a month of people, you know, clicking and listening to the audio clip.
That's so amazing.
It's genuinely, it's taken me really by surprise. It's been a bit of a whirlwind, because I genuinely didn't realise how popular this was until I started doing it. And then I started doing it and thought, yeah, this is actually, it's a really great way to engage people with erotica. It's a nice kind of intimate way for them to enjoy the story.
And why do you think people are embracing it so fervently?
Well, I think part of it is, like what have you mentioned earlier on, the power of imagination. And that, you know, having been led down the path of the story and this is what happens, but being able to fill in the detail yourself in your own mind, I think that's really compelling for people. And I think there's also that thing of, you know, it is hearing somebody whisper a sexy story in your ear is always going to be a little bit saucy and intimate. And, you know, we're listening to lots of podcasts these days, so why not apply that medium to something that's a little bit more sexy and thrilling?
Yeah, well, like audio books, I mean, I know it's not quite the same thing, but they are really, really popular at the moment. So like you say, it's kind of the same thing. Although, I mean, next time I'm sat next to somebody on a bus,
well,
I'm going to be thinking,
know.
Hang on, are they really, what are they really listening to, hey?
Do you know what I love as well about them is it feels like slightly more ethical porn.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've seen lots of articles about it recently, talking about, you know, audio porn and saying audio porn is a lot more ethical. I know there are a lot more people who care about ethics who are making it. I don't think it's inherently more ethical than video porn, just because, you know, there are still all of these issues that come up with video porn. You know, people can still pirate it or copy it or use people's work without their permission. So all of the issues that come up with the kind of porn tube sites can also come up with audio porn. But one of the nice things about it, I think, is that at the moment, most people who are making audio porn are already very aware of the sort of ethical issues that already exist within the porn industry. Personally, I have learned so much from video porn producers, who've been sort of pioneering and trying to make sure that they're working really ethically and paying their performers and creators well. So I would hope that this area is one where we can really stick to the ethics and make sure that when people are creating it or consuming it, they're doing so in a way that, you know, respects the people who are putting the work in.
But it's about the performers as well, isn't it? I guess that's the problem a lot of people have with porn is, you know, how much consent have the actual performers given? And it with this, because you can use your imagination, you can be the protagonist in whatever way, there's not those unrealistic body stereotypes of people in porn that kind of will not necessarily inspire, but maybe more likely depress.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I think I personally struggle with visual porn, I watch quite a lot of porn as part of my job, but I find it difficult to put myself in that position and to sort of imagine myself in that scene. And I suppose, yeah, you're right, that must, for a lot of people, I would think, there is that difficulty, particularly with the kind of mainstream porn that you get on the tube sites. There isn't that much diversity in terms of body type or, you know, different types of people taking part in it. It is quite homogenous. So with audio, you can sort of put whoever you want in the story, whether that's you or someone you fancy or your favourite celebrity or, yeah, any person, any body type.
What are the most popular stories on your site? Are there particular kind of topics that seem to get people more?
Oh, yeah. So at the moment, the most popular story by quite some way is a story about having sex in the office. So most of my work is real-life stories. So it's usually stuff that I have done at some point in my life.
Although really? There is some office, so you've had sex in the office then, G?
I have, yeah. Although, I cannot stress this enough, there was nobody else in the office. It was after hours. My partner at the time needed to go and pick up his laptop or something. We'd gone out for drinks with his work colleagues because he needed to pop back to pick up his laptop. So I went back with him and we had a nice time on his desk. that's the most popular one at the moment. But I think, to be honest, there are quite a few sort of interesting themes and topics that run through it. I think people really like hearing real-life stories, and they also quite like stories that are about sex toys. I have particular... I'm not sure... Am I allowed to mention a particular type of sex toy?
Yeah.
It was... So butt plugs are very popular on their site. Any story about butt plugs, lots of
really?
People search. Yeah, lots of people search for butt plugs and butt plug stories, and so anything to do with them is always really popular.
What's that about? Is that just about... Because why would a sex toy be hot? Is that just the taboo around it? Is everything around it?
I think so, yeah. I think so. And I think because people are... I feel like over the last 5 years, people have become a lot more... willing to explore their sexuality and a lot more sort of open to trying new things. And butt plugs are kind of a nice, easy, interesting, slightly different thing for people to do that may not, that they might be curious about.
Mm.
And so when you're, one of the things that I think sex blogging is great for is showing people, you know, if you have this fantasy, you're not alone. And so I think it's partly that people sort of want to explore these ideas in a safe environment by listening to Erotica about it and then maybe trying it themselves a little bit further down the line.
Ali wants to invest in your company.
Well,
don't get carried away. I was explaining to Bibi that years ago, I remember having a conversation in a pub where, let's face it, most of the best conversations
your
happen.
Best conversations.
Yeah. And one of my friends, Neil, had this idea of porn radio. And he said, you know, I don't know why somebody hasn't set up a radio station dedicated to this stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe they
would
have,
you,
and
would
I
you
just
still
don't
have to
know.
Go to the travel at a certain time?
Can you imagine?
And here's the weather.
You know, back with the butt plugs after we have a little quick look at the weather. I just don't know. I'm not sure it would work in quite the same way, would it, really?
No, but do you know, I think it's, I mean, I would absolutely sign up for that. I think it's a great idea. I'm actually, at the moment, I'm working on developing a podcast which will put out audio porn stories, so sort of curated some of my stories and some stories from other people, and there is a huge, you know, there is a huge market for it. Sadly, I'm not one of the people who's yet received millions of pounds of investment, but
no.
If anybody's listening and they'd like to, my door is always open.
You need to go on Dragon's Den. I would love to hear your pitch in front of the dragons. That would be good.
My door is always open is such a great name for an erotic story.
That would be your next one. Oh, funny. Do you know what it does sort of bring to mind, though? You know, and I don't even know whether they still exist so much now, but you remember, like, the sexy phone lines that people used to ring?
Yeah.
It's similar to that, isn't it? Because, again, a lot of that was, you know, kind of you using your own imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those, a while ago, somebody pointed me towards a website where it was very similar. Like, they had phone lines set up, and I think you connected over the web or something. And I find those incredibly arousing. Like, you were allowed to listen in on other people's calls.
Ooh.
Yeah, something really sexy about that sort of eavesdropping, you know, listening in to somebody tell.
Oh, my goodness.
Story.
I think that's incredible.
Yeah. I don't think, sadly, the site has shut down. So maybe there wasn't enough of a market for it, or maybe they didn't market it well enough. But yeah, I think I'm hoping that in the next few years or so, particularly because we're becoming a lot more open to talking about sex and the cost of technology for doing some of this stuff is coming down, hopefully we'll see loads more of these sort of exciting ideas and interesting new ways to turn people on. I'd like to see loads more development.
The voices are so important, aren't they, in this? So I've interviewed Girl on the Net for a feature that's coming out maybe next week. I'll let you know. And within it, I was listening to some stuff. Well, apparently the British male accent is very, very popular in this world. Is that true? But some of the voices, like some really did not help me and some were fabulous.
Yeah, it's really interesting how much of a difference it can make, just the different voices. I mean, I guess it's similar to, you know, if you're watching visual porn and the body types are, you know, very different to your own, or, you know, they don't particularly turn you on. Likewise with voices. Since I started doing the audio, I've had quite a few Americans get in touch with me to tell me how much they love my accent, which is very flattering because my mum always thinks that I should speak properly.
Whatever, Mum. The Americans love it.
Yeah.
It's a bit like ASMR, though. We've discussed that on the
Please
show
don't
before.
Do that, because that makes me feel
really
so sick.
Can't cope with it. So this is autonomous sensory meridian response, and it's this tingling sensation that can be felt on the skin, usually in the scalp, upper neck and spine. And it's been labelled by some as an attention-induced head orgasm. And that's all about sounds. So people whispering.
Alison, it makes me feel like I'm having a panic attack in my vagina. It's horrible.
It hasn't been described like that by anyone.
It's horrible.
But I suppose people do react to certain sounds. I mean, do you have, when you record your stories, G, is it just you talking, or are there also sound effects? Like,
yeah.
If someone's in the shower, do we get to hear the water?
Coconut hooves.
Do you know, it's something that I would like to branch out into. I did it for one story. So there was one story, I can't remember the basic premise was, it was someone getting spanked with a flogger.
Right.
And as the story goes on, there are occasional thwack noises from the flogger while this person is sort of getting spanked. And so when I recorded it, I also recorded a few sort of thwacking noises to cut into the story. And it went down very well. It was very popular with the people who support me on Patreon, and they, you know, they said they liked it. But the problem is, because most of my stuff, I'm recording it in my office at home, it feels a little bit ridiculous for me to stand in my office at home thwacking myself with a flogger in front of a microphone.
So, although in the grand,
in the grand scheme of things,
I mean, you know.
So what did you use?
Just a flogger. So I have a selection of many different floggers.
Of course you do.
I actually use quite a long one.
Okay.
So I could sort of swing it over my shoulder so that it would hit my back in just the right point in front of the microphone. And then, of course, you've got to angle the microphone so that the air doesn't rush too quickly into it and you get that popping sound.
It's a way to make a living. Yeah.
Very complicated.
Do you tell people what you do for a job?
People I'm close to, yes. So my close friends know what I do. And my mum, who is, I feel mean that I said she joked about my accent earlier on. She's lovely and she's incredibly supportive. And she's always been very supportive of my work. So she knows what I do as well. Other than that, I'm mostly anonymous. I go by Girl on the Net and I don't put my real name out there.
Sure.
Just because it allows me to be a lot more honest and intimate in the sorts of stories that I'm telling without worrying that, you know, my partner will go into work and worry that his colleagues might have read the blog post I wrote about how we shagged.
They'll be looking at his desk, won't they, in a different light from
now on. Yeah. Move the stapler. I love that you went to his work and jeopardised his career.
That would be my worry, though. What if there were cameras?
Yeah.
Do offices have cameras? Imagine that.
Oh, we checked. We knew about the camera situation. We knew there were no cameras. And I should stress as well, this wasn't my current partner.
Good.
What do you? You know, I wanted to ask you this. Do you think audio porn is more beneficial to women orgasming? Is there something in it in that I know we were talking about the intimacy of someone whispering into your ear, but do you think it's more satisfying for women?
You know, I've been wrestling quite a lot with this question. I think it's a really good question, and I'm not sure what the answer is. I think probably the way I feel generally is that most porn, whether it's audio or visual or erotic, like, it's all created within a society that is quite patriarchal, and so there are lots of expectations, and a lot of these expectations make women often feel inadequate, and they are not necessarily designed to, but, you know, the structures we exist in, you know, sort of make us feel inadequate or make us feel like we should be doing this or we must try that. And so it may feel easier to sort of break the mold and go, okay, well, this is something that doesn't have all of those connotations. You know, it doesn't, it's a newer thing and it's a bit different and I can sort of engage with it in my own way. And so maybe that means that it's easier for people to let go.
Mm.
But at the same time, I definitely don't want to underplay how popular this is with men. So 60% of my website visitors are men. And people are often surprised when I tell them that because they think, oh, well, you know, it's erotica, it's for women. And actually, there are plenty of men who like this as well. And I think, you know, porn in general each individual will prefer different types of porn. Some people, regardless of gender, will be more visual. Some people will be more, you know, wanting the audio and the dirty talk. And others will prefer just to use their imagination and not have any porn at all. So, it's a really tricky one. I think it's complex, basically. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what the answer is.
If you do decide to go further down the road of introducing sound effects, may I suggest one? Apparently this is the latest trend in the world of ASMR. It's quite bizarre. Soap cutting.
What?
People are getting off on the sound of soap cutting. Yeah. Basically, you get a bar of soap and you slice into it. I don't even know what noise that makes, but apparently it's highly erotic.
It wouldn't make a noise.
I'm really into soap cutting.
What? Write it down.
Write it down.
It's a new list. Yeah.
It's fairly satisfying. There was an amazing Twitter account a while ago that just posted video after video of soap cutting. And I was obsessed.
If you can kind of combine the two, a bit of sexy soap cutting, you could be onto a winner.
But what's sexy soap?
I don't know. I can imagine a story. I'm in the shower.
Yeah,
with a knife.
And some Lifebuoy.
I think that could work. I think. How prolific are you with your stories, G, as well? Are you like literally recording one of these a day, or how does it work?
Are we in one now?
If you'd like to be, then
do you ever have guests? Do you have guest performers? Could we do a little cameo? Come on!
Yes, if you're up for it, I would love for you to do a cameo. Link to a story if you fancy recording something.
Yes, hilarious. Have you ever done that? Have you had kind of guest performers before?
So I have. Yeah, there are a few stories on my site which are led by guest performers. There are a couple actually that are guest blogs written and recorded by the person who wrote them. So once a week I publish a guest blog, and I've had a couple of guest bloggers say, oh, I'm happy to record this as audio. So I do have guest readers on the site. I'm actually just about to, so usually I do about 3 or 4 stories a month, but I'm just about to, in December of all times, I don't know why I chose December, but I'm about to do a big project where I record lots of stories all at once with a few different readers and a few different authors. So on my website, girlopnet.com/audiocorn, over December, there should be lots more content going up and lots more stories, just because I thought it'd be nice to give some other erotic writers a chance to showcase their work on the site as well. I've got some really fabulous people who've agreed to record their words.
And do they have a festive theme as it's December? Tell me there's nothing with Father Christmas.
No, nothing with Father Christmas, although now that you've put that idea into my head.
Oh, here we go. I'm getting, I want commission. Soap cutting, Santa, it's all there.
I'm intrigued. You know what? My head keeps going back to this eavesdropping on these phone lines. Although, of course, you have to not imagine the woman actually just filing her nails and she's like, yeah, baby. Yeah, doing the ironing. Yeah, big boy. Bit of starch on the collar, you know.
Although, great way to make some cash while you get the ironing done.
That's true.
I used to know someone who did that when we were younger, and she'd be on the chat lines and she'd just be sort of cleaning the kitchen or folding up the washing, and yeah.
It's just not sexy, is it? Funny. Well, listen, thank you, G, and we will consider the
offer. I'm doing it.
BB's in. She's in. She's there.
Fantastic.
She's there.
Great.
Sign her up. Thank you so much. If people want to find out more, they can obviously take a look at your site, girlonthenet.com. G, thank you so much.
Thanks, G.
Thank you. It's been fantastic.
Bye. I'm never going to look at a bar of soap in quite the same way.
I mean, what noise does it make? So it's dry soap,
yeah,
and a serrated knife. So you get a bit of sore.
I don't know. I'm going to go home and try it, though. I'll record it for you. We'll play it. We'll play it next week.
Thanks.
Back to masturbation.
Sure.
Again, a new term for my vocab book. Fapping.
Sorry?
Fapping?
Fapping.
It's the colloquial term for masturbating, apparently.
Fapping.
Yeah, fapping. I've never heard of it.
What site are you on, love?
This is an article in the Metro.
Did I write it?
No, I checked that. But it's a recent article. It's from a couple of months ago.
Fapping,
it says.
Well, there was always the Men have better ones, don't they?
Bash the bishop.
Exactly.
I mean, I've always wondered about that one. It's
well, that's the Catholic in you.
Slightly questionable. Fapping, that is a new one. Do you know what this article that I'm reading is all about, though? It's actually about people who become addicted to masturbation. So on the one hand, we're saying, go on, prescribe it on the NHS.
Yeah.
You know, we should all be doing more of it. But actually, some people do too much of it. It says here, it's actually a growing problem where some people are unable to leave their house because they are so addicted
to love,
to self-pleasure.
Yeah, but they've got to eat, they've got to earn some money, so they will leave the house at one point, unless they're doing the chat lines themselves.
But I guess if your brain does get used to the dopamine spikes from masturbation, you can see how people would become addicted.
But maybe better that way. Well, I guess it's what they're masturbating to. So is this just basically porn addiction? Is this about porn addiction rather than masturbation?
Yeah, I suppose.
That was another thing we were talking to G about, if it's ethical, more feminist. Another thing that all these stories do, which I think is really great, is they talk about consent. They're very PC. There are some stories that are kind of, and that makes them sound a bit not sexy. There are some stories that I guess are maybe sexier in that way, but the consent is kind of, and birth control is mentioned in them, like within the storylines.
Yeah, it's not sexy though, is it?
No, but it is sexy. It's weird. I know. As soon as I'm saying this, I'm not painting a great picture. I know. So they sign down, sit down, they sign a little piece of paper.
Yeah. Well, I've learned a lot today. I think we both have, really. So we're gonna get you a cameo in one of Girl on the Net's sex stories. I'm going to sign you up to 88-year-old Betty Dodson's...
She's 88 now.
Yeah. We're going to sign her up to her show-and-tell vulva class. Now, we're going to end with a final bit of research I found. Honestly, who carries out these surveys? It cracks me up. So, look, just in case, even after listening to all of this, you are still not convinced that self-pleasure is the way forward, guess what? People who regularly masturbate are more likely to be managers at work. I mean, what the correlation is here, I don't know. But the results of a recent survey revealed that people who masturbate at least once a week are more likely to excel in almost every way in the workplace.
Because they're good at taking things in hand?
Oh, she went there. Apparently you will earn more. Frequent masturbators earn less money.
I mean, come on.
Well, they say that it's about self-confidence, and masturbation gives you a boost in self-confidence, and that could be seen as one major contributor to a higher paycheck, because it could take a certain amount of confidence and bravery to ask your boss for a pay rise.
Do you know what I think takes a bit more confidence and bravery?
What's that?
You reading that out on air.
Do you think it's nonsense? No. Honestly, though, everyone should try this. Put the word masturbation. No, don't. But I'm just, if you put the word
hobbies,
if you put the word masturbation into a search engine, it's surprising.
No, put it on your CV when you're applying for the next job. What are your hobbies? Masturbation.
Could you imagine?
Well, what have you been doing? There's a gap in your job history. What have you been doing the last 3 months? Masturbating. Do you have any references? Yes.
Well, people would—they'd remember you, don't they? And you know, they wouldn't forget you in a hurry.
On CVs, sometimes people put a photo of themselves, which I never think is a good idea. One of you masturbating? Would that?
I think that's a step
steal
too
the deal?
Far.
Okay.
I would say, yeah. No, I would say that's a step too far. Now, listen. What are we doing next week? Are we going to do? I mean,
we're going through, because we are the gift that keeps on giving throughout the year. But Christmas is upon us, and we are going to do a sexy stocking filler gift guide with sex expert Mia Moore.
Is that ever a good idea? Do you think, though, to give somebody a sexy gift at Christmas? I mean, I think it's fine if you know you're going to be opening it in private.
Yeah.
I suppose my worry is, you know, you've all sat around the bottom of the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Christmas morning. Do you really want to open? Do you see what I mean?
I was sent, I think it was a butt plug from a company, and I, as a joke, wrapped it up and gave it to a girlfriend, and she didn't want it. So she wrapped it up as part of her work secret Santa.
And gave it to a colleague,
not knowing it would all be opened in a pub. And it was a bounce on the floor situation. Like,
oh, don't.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Oh, yeah. What everyone wants, a butt plug for Christmas. Wow. One final note on masturbation. Write this one down. This is definitely one for the vocab book.
Yeah.
In fact, we need to do this as well before the end of the year. We need to compile all of the vocab and all of the stuff we've learned in 2019.
Because we have learned maybe too much.
Too much. Edging.
Edging.
Are we familiar with this as a term for self-pleasure?
Oh, you stop yourself orgasming.
Yeah, apparently this is what the experts say women should do. So you should self-pleasure right up until the moment before you are going to orgasm and then pull back.
Mm.
And they say, in fact, it's not just for women this is for both sexes. And you should do this several times before finally letting go.
Oh, God, who's got the time? I'm a busy woman.
Well, if you're not here next week,
Baby's edging.
And did you know that there is actually, you know, like nowadays there's a day for everything and there's a month for everything, you know, for awareness.
Yeah.
Do you know that there is actually a masturbation month?
I don't know what you're reading today.
It's true, though.
What? Which month is it?
Well, come on. Think alliteration. It can only be one. May. May is the month of masturbation.
Oh.
Yeah, so we'll bear that in mind.
We will bear that in mind. And we'll totally ignore it.
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know what happens during masturbation month. I'm not sure I want to know, really. But yeah, anyway. And what do you think is the thing that most women think about when self-pleasuring?
An ex or a friend. Or I don't think famous people. When G said that earlier about you can put in like a celebrity, you use your imagination. I mean, is there a celeb? I don't think there's a celeb. Although I love Jürgen Klopp.
Would that do it for you?
I don't know. I love him. I like when he does the fist thing.
What?
Live and local. After the watershed.